Well, they got me a new microphone. I trust that it's going to work. Is it on? Testing. 1, 2, 3. It's working? Okay, great. Brother Jackson, I'm glad to see you survive the hospital and back home. Nice to see you this morning. Let me invite you to stand with me, take your Bibles, and repeat after me, if you will. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him to study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Heavenly Father, we stand in your presence this morning with thankfulness in our hearts. Lord, your word means more to us than anything else in this whole world. And I want to ask, Lord, that you would be with each one of us today. You know our needs, attend to them according to your will. And be with me, Father, as I bring the message this morning. May the words that I speak be meet in due season. And lift us all heavenward. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. These are texts that you are all very, very much acquainted with. Starting in the 23rd verse. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed unto you. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed unto you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's Apostle Paul, he is quoting the words of Jesus. And Christ is standing at a point of transition between two economies and two great festivals. He is the spotless Lamb of God, and he is about to present himself as a sin offering. And thus it would bring to an end the system of type and ceremonies that for 4,000 years had pointed forward to his death. The national Passover, or the national fest of the Jews, the Passover, was about to pass away forever. The Passover was ordained to commemorate the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. You see, God had directed that year by year, as the children should ask the meaning of the Passover, the history of Israel and God's goodness should be repeated. As Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples, he instituted in its place the service that is to be a memorial of his great sacrifice. Now, within the church today, there is a movement that says that we should participate in these festivals again. You know, the Passover feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, the different feasts. There was four main feasts that was held in Israel. And there are those that say that we should be practicing these, but the Bible makes it very plain, and even the spirit of prophecy, that this came to an end. It had to do with the sacrificial system, and it came to an end when Christ died on the cross. Amen. And in fact, the Christ himself, he instituted the memorial service, or this service that we are going to participate in this morning, to take the place of the Passover. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper was given to commemorate the great sacrifice that Jesus made by dying on Calvary. And this ordinance is to be celebrated till he shall come the second time in power and glory. It is the means by which his great work is to be kept fresh in our minds. As the children came to their fathers, to their mothers, or to the leaders in Israel and asked the meaning of the Passover, they were to take time to teach their children about Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage. We, when we participate in this ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and the children should ask, we are to teach them about our deliverance from sin by Jesus when he died on the cross, and we point forward to the day that he's going to come the second time in glory. Oh, what a wonderful hope we have. What a wonderful story to share with our children to keep fresh in their minds. The hope that we have that Jesus is coming soon. But the question is, Lord, how long do we have to wait? It is no doubt that the disciples longed for Jesus to set up his kingdom, to deliver them from Roman bondage. But how long, Lord, should we wait? What's the purpose? Another question. What's the purpose for the communion service? I can only turn to God's Word. It says to show the Lord's death until he comes. To show it to whom? Our children, yes. But what about our neighbors? Jesus says to all the world, go into all the world and prepare a people to meet God. And for 2,000 years, Jesus has been waiting for his people who would surrender to him. Now, what this is telling me that the problem is not with Christ, the problem is with us. He's waiting for us to get ready. From Christ Object Lessons, page 69, it says, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle because the harvest has come. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. That's good stuff, isn't it? It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:12. We all who profess his name, bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly the great harvest would be ripened, and Christ would come to gather his precious grain. I have another question for you. Do you really want Jesus to come? I don't mean 100 years from now or even 10 years from now. Do we want Jesus to come in our lifetime? You know, Jerry teaching the Sabbath school this morning, I appreciated the class this morning. He spoke about one of his colleagues who had died in an automobile accident, but he had a desire, he had a hope for to see Jesus come in the clouds. And of course, at his eulogy, that promise will be, you know, the preacher said that promise would be made sure in the fact that on that resurrection morning, he will be brought forth and he will see Jesus coming in the clouds. But folks, I'm not talking about this morning that we should die and sometime in the way out distant future, there's going to be a resurrection. I'm talking about the soon coming of Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about soon. Soon. As a church, Seventh-day Adventists have never set a time for Jesus to come. In fact, we do not know the day nor the hour, but there's not one of us that is sitting there this morning doesn't know that the coming of Jesus is near. If you really want Jesus to come in our day, then there's some things that you and I should do. First, we have to prepare our own hearts by study and prayer. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he shall come to claim them as his own. So we have to prepare our hearts. We have to study. Second thing we have to do is witness. We have to tell others about the good things that Jesus has done for us, the good things that Jesus is doing for us, and we have to speak with enthusiasm about his second coming. You know, this week my heart was made glad. Just yesterday I was visiting with Wilhelmina. And she said she had planned to go out to the South End to eat lunch one day this week. She was driving down there, and a voice spoke to her and told her to turn around the car. Don't go that way. Don't go there. So she changed her mind, and she went to another restaurant. At the restaurant, when she went in, there was a lady sitting at the table by herself, and she greeted her. She greeted the lady at the table. When she came in, that was sitting at the table. She went and she got her lunch and she came and sat down. Again, the lady looked at her with a friendly voice, with an expression of greeting. And she and Wilhelmina invited her to come and sit with her. And during the whole dinner hour, as they ate together, she had opportunity to witness about the Sabbath. She had time to witness about her Lord and our Savior. Amen. Folks, I want you to know that we are God's ears, we are His eyes, we are His mouthpiece. God still speaks to us today. Listen to that still small voice and be obedient. We have to be involved in ministry. Amen. Remember, first when I came here, I gave you three things to do every day. We should pray for a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to Wilhelmina's heart and asked her not to go there and eat, but to go to another place. It kind of reminds me of the road. Remember the Ethiopian, and God spoke to Philip, and Philip sent him out there in the desert, and he saw that Ethiopian riding in the chariot, and he was able to witness to him. And right there, the Ethiopian says, "Well, what hindereth me from being baptized?" And he says, "Nothing." By the pool of water, they went in to the water, and Philip baptized that Ethiopian. That's kind of the experience that Wilhelmina has had this week. Folks, a lot of good things has been happening to Wilhelmina this week. God has been so good. The young lady by the name of Juanita that she's been studying with, she says, "Would you call the pastor and make arrangements that I could be baptized?" Folks, every one of us can be involved in ministry. Every one of us can be involved in a work. In fact, that is the work of the laity, to minister to the needs of others. And I believe if every one of us would do that, not just prepare our own hearts, but that we would witness, and that we would make sure that there was nothing that stands between us and the Lord. The coming of Jesus could very well be. I believe it will be in our lifetime. Oh, folks, the message that is dear to our hearts, the message that we believe in and continue to preach, is not going to end with a trickle on the rocks of oblivion. This message is not going to end tamely. This message is going to go to the end, but it's going to go with a mighty crescendo. It's going to go with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be around for that day when the Holy Spirit is poured out on His people. That's why we pray, "Lord, send us a double portion of the Holy Spirit. I want personal revival. I want corporate revival in my church. I want ministry to be taking place." Every one of us should have some ministry. Every one of us should be witnesses. Folks, I am excited about the mighty works that God is going to perform on behalf of His people. But it will only happen if you spend the time with Him. This is my Bible, your Bible. It will do you no good if you don't spend some time each day reading, studying the Word of God. Jesus says that my name shall be proclaimed in all the earth. My message will go to the end of the earth, and every knee shall bow. Can you imagine? The entire world will be brought to the place where they'll have to take a stand for the truth or against the truth. And church, it's happening now. When Seventh-day Adventists come to town, they rent an hall for evangelism. People get mad or they get glad. They make decisions for Christ and they're in love with Him. There's joy in their hearts. Or when that message is presented and we talk about subjects like the state of the dead or the Sabbath, things that they have not comprehended or put much time into. They think, how could the whole world be wrong and you would be keeping Saturday? Or why is it that the preacher has already said that my mama, my grandma is already in heaven? And they get angry and they turn away from Jesus, or from the words of Jesus. There are people in government, there are people, businessmen, statesmen, there are ministers, there have been people who have been listening to our television and radio programs, people who have been reading our literature, people who have been influenced by our hospitals, our educational outreach, our humanitarian work. One day these men and women are going to come and join ranks with us, and they too will proclaim the message. What a glorious climax! And we can be a part of it. So how long do we have to wait before Jesus comes? Every time we participate in this service, it's an opportunity that we would move forward by faith, hastening that glad day. The communion service points to Christ's second coming. It was designed to keep this message vivid and fresh in our minds. Unspeakably precious to the disciples was the thought, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until He comes. In dying for sinners, Christ manifested a love that is incomprehensible. And beholding this love, the heart is impressed, the conscience is aroused, and the soul is led to inquire, what is sin that it should require such a sacrifice for the redemption of his victim? Amen. He who beholds the Savior's matchless love will be elevated in thought, purified in heart, and transformed in character. Amen. He will go forth to be a light to the world, to reflect the mysterious love of Jesus. Oh, folks, when you reflect on the life of Christ, when you reflect on the hope that we have, there is absolutely nothing in this old world that is more important to us than that relationship with Jesus. To put on the robe of His righteousness, to be covered in His robe when the heavenly beings look upon us. They don't see our sins. They see that we're covered. Amen. With the robe of Jesus. Oh, we have nothing to fear. We have a wonderful hope. Jesus is coming soon. And as we participate in these emblems this morning, representing Christ's broken body and spilt blood, again, it makes our hearts glad. It makes us fully aware of the great sacrifice that He has made, and that He's longing, with a longing desire, He wants to come for His people. Amen. Folks, just now, as we participate in these emblems, we stand perfect before our Savior, our Creator. And He could come just now, and not one of us would be lost. Oh, folks, I look forward to the day when a great revival takes place in our midst, not just our church, but all across Christianity. And the world will know that there's something different about us. And they will be pointed forward, heavenward, to see Jesus. May God bless us today as we participate in His emblems, the broken body and spilt blood. We will separate now to participate in the foot washing service. I understand that the ladies will meet in the fellowship hall, and the men is going to meet in the study, in the pastor's study, right here to my right.